Thank you for listening to the Hope City Community Church Podcast. We pray that your life will be forever changed by what you hear today. Our goal is to encourage, inspire, and challenge you to experience the real Jesus. Thanks for listening. Now, let's tune in.
Well, good morning, church. Glad to have you this morning. I'm excited today. Today, I'm going to land the plane on the Anchor series. It's been a three-week series about the promises of God that hold in the waves and the chaos of our lives. And today, I'm going to finish that up by teaching you about the promise of God's peace. The promise of God's peace. How many of you will do with an extra helping of peace today? Amen. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Go ahead and open your Bibles to John chapter 14. It's our first verse. While you're doing that, let me first start by thanking you. The car wash yesterday was an extraordinary success because of your benevolence, because of the service of our youth. I just want to thank you for being a church that when announcements like that go out, you respond. Thank you for loving our youth enough. Sometimes we always talk about the what, but not the why. Let me just explain to you that what we're doing is we're raising money to send our kids to church camp. And church camp is not like summer camp. Yeah, there's a lot of fun that takes place. There's a lot of games and a lot of activities. But let me tell you something. Every night, they have the most powerful worship services, and they study the Word of God. And last year at camp, we saw lives completely changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so thank you for getting involved in all these fundraisers that are going to help send our kids to camp. So thank you so much for that. I also want to reiterate what Tim said. Palm Sunday is next Sunday. Then the following Friday is Good Friday. We have a 7 p.m. Make sure you make note of that, a 7 p.m. Worship service. Our night of worship, it's going to be powerful. Then on Saturday from 2 to 4, the church's birthday party. Man, I'm excited about that. 2 years of spreading hope in our city. Isn't that amazing? It's already been 2 years. Does time fly for anybody else in here? Man, it seems like it goes by quick, doesn't it? Especially when you're having a good time. And we are certainly having a good time at Hope City. Then on Sunday, we have 3 morning services. 8:30, 10 o'clock, and 11:30. So make note of that, 8:30, 10 o'clock, and 11:30. So the next 2 weeks are going to be really, really fun. A lot of activities, a lot of powerful things. But let's not forget that the main focus of the next 2 weeks is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's a reason we can all be grateful today. So before I even get into my sermon, I have to kind of step out of sermon mode and just talk to you as pastor and a spiritual leader in this house. Some of you may have seen my post on Facebook yesterday about some music that's recently come out. I want to challenge each one of you. Where are my parents at? You've got children still in the house, kids still in the house. Some of you are like, I still have a 50-year-old in the house. He needs to move out, right? That's okay. That's okay. That's all right. He counts. They count. What I always say, he. I don't know. Maybe you have a daughter that's 50 in the house. Great. Probably not likely, but we'll go with that. Can I tell you, we as parents are the gatekeepers of our home. You are held accountable for what you allow in your house. Maybe, you know what? I'm just going to say it the way I feel it. If you hand a tablet without restriction to a child, you're a fool. You're a fool. You are lobbing a hand grenade into their spirit, and you don't even realize you're doing it. I'm telling you, it needs to stop. There are restrictions. If the world gives us restriction, can I tell you the house of the Lord needs restriction? Be careful. Be careful what you are putting in the face of your children. And it can happen so quick. You don't even realize that this. Last night, I just went out and started looking at some of the other videos and stuff. Can I tell you, it's not just the one by Justin Timberlake. There's music from all of the big names now that are glorifying and edifying demonic worship. It's not even stuff you got to go hunting for. You don't have to embellish to create the demonic force anymore. It's there, obvious in front of you. church, be wise. Be wise. Adults, this is not just for kids. Be wise for yourselves. I know it's got a good beat and a nice lick and you can groove to it, but you know what? While you're grooving to that, you're also edifying something that does not glorify God. Your ears and your eyes are windows into your soul. And if the enemy can get in, irrelevant of the access point, irrelevant of how he comes in, he'll come in. Please be wise. Please steward your souls and the souls of your children with wisdom. From what I saw two nights ago, there is a line being drawn in the sand that has been a bit ambiguous until lately. Now, you don't even have to think about it. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to sit and ponder whether or not it's okay. The devil's done all the work for you. He's obvious. He's out in the open, not even trying to hide anymore. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Song we sang when we were young. Maybe we need to start singing it again, huh? Maybe we need to come back to a realization that what we see, what we hear, what we experience affects our spirit. Be wise, church. I care for you. I care for your children. I care for your families. Be careful. Be aware. The scripture says to be aware of the wiles of the wicked one. Be aware, okay? We good with that? You can send me an email if you want to, and I'm okay with that. John chapter 14, verse 27. Today I want to talk to you about the peace of God. The peace of God. You're like, thanks, you kicked the cage, then you want to talk about peace. That's okay, that's okay. If that kicked your cage, you need a new cage. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is Jesus having a conversation, telling humans, have peace. That he is leaving peace with us when he leaves. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding on our behalf. So he was leaving earth physically. But he said, there are some characteristics of my life that I'm going to leave as a benefit to you now. And one of those benefits is his peace. Notice he makes a declaration. He says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Today we're going to break down that peace. One of the greatest struggles that I think we have peace about is in the financial area. A lot of times it can feel like we're under attack financially. And maybe we're under attack in an area where we feel like we can't provide, or maybe we're in attack in an area that feels like we've got more months at the end of our money. Has anybody ever experienced that? Well, if that's the reality for you, I want you to know God has given you authority over that as well. He wants you to have peace. As a matter of fact, one of the longest conversations about peace is about the peace that comes from provision. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through verse 34, it gives us some clarity in that. We're going to talk about that just for a second because I want you to have understanding. In verse 25, it's Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. He says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. That's a relief to me. I'm going to quit going to the gym. Wendy's like, you ain't gone in months anyway. That's okay. Because I read this months ago. I'm good, right? Now, I want to be very clear. When it says do not worry, that is not a release from stewardship. This is not a release from stewardship. But there is a level to where your stewardship becomes worry, and that's what God is saying to prevent. You should steward all things that God has given you, including your body. Amen. Amen. I need to do a little better job of that. It says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Let me explain that to you. What the scripture is saying, will worry add a single second to your life? will it add days and more opportunities? No. As a matter of fact, I think science has shown the opposite. Worry and stress can have a bad effect on your life. You see people who are covered up in stress. I always notice this. When somebody becomes our president, they look fresh. Most of the time. 4 years later, not so much. These jokers go in spry off the campaign trail. We did it. We got 4 years. We're going to make a difference. At the end of 4 years, like four more years. Like, I don't know if I can take it. I'm not sure I can go another four. Why? Rest. The weight of having to make decisions. The weight of having to steward an entire country. Can I tell you, it takes a physical effect. Let's consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Isn't that a great thought that God knows you need it? He already knows what you have need of. I love that. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, they'll be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Every day comes with its own worry, doesn't it? Every day comes with its own stress. I want to encourage you to start looking at stress and worry a little differently. It is a byproduct of the experience of earth that can be left at the foot of the cross every day. You can take your stress and your worry and give it to Jesus. The Bible says, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. That doesn't just mean that he cares about you. That means he cares on your behalf. So give your stress and your worry to him. Today I want to talk about a common sense approach to peace. A common sense approach. A lot of times we take things and we establish them in spiritual ways, and that's great. But then we leave without a practical application as to how to move forward in that spiritual principle. So today I want to give you some practical application to how to walk in peace. Can I tell you that people blame their own decisions on spiritual things all the time? Case in point, Lord, I just need more money. No, you need better stewardship. Lord, I just need a better relationship. No, you just need to steward the relationships you have now. Lord, I need this new thing. No, because you got the last new thing and now it's collecting dust. Can I tell you, a lot of times the problems that we're having are self-incurred. And we have this desire to always do more, have more, do better. Can I tell you, it's a sickness. It's a sickness. And that sickness is injected upon us. And that sickness is called consumerism. Buy at all costs. Own, even in the face of debt. While I'm talking about that, when did the American dream ever become what can I afford instead of what can I save? Two people. Let me try that one again. When did the focus become what can I acquire instead of how much I can save? There's this spirit of consumerism. And can I tell you, that same spirit is the same spirit that brings his cousin rejection and fear later on. So you have this desire to acquire things, and when you acquire them at high interest in a season that you probably should have waited, and now you become chained to the thing that should have brought you joy. Can I tell you, there's a better way. There's a better way. I want you to live in freedom. Freedom and peace. And sometimes that means us changing ourselves. If you're always wanting things to change, it may be time for you to change some things. Let me say that again. If you're always looking for things to change, it may be time for you to change some things. It's my desire today that these practical tips give you hope, give you tools that allow you to step through your fear, through the chaos and the anxieties of life, into a place of peace. The change that you're looking for, I promise you this, it starts with you. If you want peace and calm, you have to learn to do things a different way. Some of you are driven on dramatic energy. You're drama queens and kings. Read your Facebook posts. I see it. You like stirring the pot, but you don't like to drink what you stirred up. Well, that needs to change. The scripture gives us some incredible insights into this. We're always asking God to help bring peace. But I want to open your eyes to something. Jesus actually talked more about us making peace. Making peace. Romans chapter 14, verse 19 says this, "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another." So before you make an action, does that action bring peace, or does that action bring more chaos and frustration? Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." I want you to begin to shift your paradigm and understanding about what peace is. So many people pray, and they say, "God, I need peace. God, I need peace. I need peace." But the scripture I read to you earlier says, "Peace I leave with you." Hang on. "But God, I need peace." And he's like, "I already left it for you." "But God, I need peace." No. "I left it for you. It's already there." Everything you need to create peace has already been given to you. You say, "Wait a second, this is getting on to some action-based faith, some works-based faith." No, it's called wisdom-based stewardship. A lot of the problems we have is because we can't shut up. That's good preaching. I don't care what you think. That's very simple. I'm a simple man. I give it to you simply. I wish there was a button that I could hit on the internet and it causes people to lose power in their home and cell phone when emotions are high. Somebody said something to somebody so-and-so, somebody said something to so-and-so else. Now all of a sudden we got some problems. Oh, and don't think it's outside the church. We do it better than anybody. Well, so-and-so said, next thing you know, okay, my keyboard's ready, here we go. You done ripping towards somebody to pieces on the internet. But here's another thing we do. We won't put no name on it, will we? We're going to make an ambiguous post just in case somebody that hurt us might see it. Stop it. Be wise. Quit making decisions out of high emotion. Can I tell you something? There's three things today I want to give you that you should never, ever, ever do out of high emotion. Three things. Number one, you should never have difficult conversations in high emotion. Ever. Can I tell you, as a leader, that's the hardest thing? Because everybody, "Boy, if I was in your shoes, I'd do but. Well, that's why you're not in my position. The second thing, don't make important decisions in high emotion. The third thing, don't make decisions to move into new seasons in high emotion. If you will use these three steps, don't have difficult conversations, don't make important decisions, and don't enter into new seasons in high emotion. I'm going to say something that's I've already rocked the boat. Might as well keep going. We call them rebound relationships. My Lord Jesus. I literally felt you on that one. Oh, don't do it, Josh. Don't do it. No, listen, somebody has hurt us and caused a wound. So now what is supposed to be held within us is seeping out. And the devil smells the blood and he goes, not looking for Mr. Right. They're looking for Mr. Right now. Now I can send more chaos into their world. And we wonder why. Relationship after relationship after you wait to be healed, then step into the next season. Can I tell you, if my son comes off the football field with an injury, he will not go back until he's whole. I'm just going to give you a little look into my life. When I wake up every day, anybody relate to this? It sounds like popcorn going off. Pops, cracks, aches, pains. Anybody else in here? I got to stretch before I get out of the bed. You hear me? I got to stretch to get out of the bed. Anybody here relate to that? Huh? My shoulder, as I'm teaching right now, my shoulder's throbbing. When I was 15, I took a devastating injury on the football field. And the orthopedic surgeon said it's 6 to 8 months to recover. 6 weeks, they'd had me back in practice. I played 2 games with a harness that would only let my arm move about this much. In the second game, I took a shot that re-shattered the whole thing. Ended my career. Can I tell you, I'm still dealing with the effects of that negative decision. But even worse, it's easy to look at those physical pains and say, I woulda, shoulda, coulda. But with your spirit, you're doing it all the time. You are injured. You are in recovery. And you're jumping back into serious business way too fast. Be patient. Let patience have her perfect work is what the scripture says. People rushing. Why? Because they just want to get. And it's not just relationship. It's cars. Any car people in here? I love a nice car. Come on, somebody. Good point. But let me say this. We are rushing. God desires for you to have those. I promise you, He has no problem with you having nice things, but it should never come at the cost of your peace. I'll be honest with you, I like a credit card. I do. Gabe played travel basketball last year. I don't think we paid for a single hotel room all year because we had points. Points from the credit card. What we've learned to do is use the credit card for everything that'll take it, hold our money in the bank account at the end of the month, pay the whole credit card off, get the free points, stay out of debt. The slippery slope. I do not recommend that for everybody. I don't recommend it for everybody. You know why? Amazon. Walmart.com, eBay, pick your poison. Those things call out to you. I find myself watching TV, scrolling through Amazon, looking at lightning deals, telling me, oh, I got to buy that right now. You don't even need it, but just in case you might need it someday, it's 30% off today. Wendy, we got to buy this right now. That's good stewardship, right? No, it's foolishness. So what's the way forward? Contentment. Godliness with contentment. great gain. It's great gain. See, the world is in a game that you and I don't have to play. Just collecting more stuff. I saw this thing the other day that was very depressing, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with you. It said, when you die, it said, everything you use on a daily basis will begin to collect dust. And around 30 days, the people closest to you will have to make decisions on which of those things they want to keep. Of those things, they will thin out 95 to 98% of your possessions. That leaves about 2%. Of those things, it will be the things that had sentimental value. Within a year of that, even the things that had sentimental value will find their way to a drawer, a closet, shelf, and it will have little to no value, even sentimentally. But yet you and I are in this feverish pace, attack mode to go get stuff. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's me and Bree today. Bree's the only amen I got on that one. Shame on the rest of y'all. Shame on the rest of y'all. Judge us. That's okay. Just in a rush. Well, I like power tools, man. Kubot just released a hand chainsaw. It's a mini chainsaw that looks like a gun. I would use it on a robber. It would be amazing. Nobody would ever break in your house again. They said, man, I went in there to get some stuff from the Neil's house. This sucker had a gun chainsaw running toward me. You ain't got to shoot nobody. You ain't got to just run towards me. It's over. The whole world finds out that ain't the house. Little hand chainsaw. And I had it in my cart. Had it in my cart. $139. Seems worth every penny, if I'm honest with you. Came with a charger and a battery. I mean, the battery's by theirself for $49.99. Charger's probably about $30. And really, I'm getting this tool for free, if I'm being honest with you. Anybody else got this sickness that I have? Yeah? Nobody? Okay, that's all right. Stay with me. So I've got this thing in my cart. And then I realize I already have three things that do what that thing does. And it doesn't matter if Wendy says that, by the way. Wendy says, don't you have a chainsaw? Mm-hmm. Don't you have a handsaw? Mm-hmm. Don't you have a pole saw? Mm-hmm. But I don't have one like that. I don't have one in that color. It's silly now that we're breaking it down, isn't it? But in the moment, that mug hit my cart with some power, but boom, go in the cart. Power, authority, buy now, yes. I'm glad I stopped. Glad I stopped. Because can I tell you something? There's other things that need the focus of my finances more than me having a fourth saw. But there's this thing in us, an emptiness in us, a hole in us that thinks that that thing is going to solve a problem, that we have something to solve the problem that we haven't solved the problem with. Oh, what a tiresome race to run. Filling a hole that will never be full. Just when we stop and look at it, there's no peace in that life at all. So, yes, it's in consumerism. Yes, it's in our relationships. But it's also in our spiritual healing. You have a spiritual injury, I don't care what you throw at it physically. You will never fill that hole in your life. You will never fill that hole in your soul. It's a spiritual injury, it needs spiritual healing. Right? So we have life to steward. we're experiencing great chaos and frustration and struggle. And Jesus said, peace I leave with you. How do we make in our relationships? We realize that we've been sold a lie that a marriage is 50-50. That's the biggest lie that's ever been sold to humanity. Well, it's 50-50. You're going to give him, what? Shut up. Marriage is 100-100. Two broken people don't make a healthy marriage or a healthy relationship or a healthy business. Two broke people don't make a good business. Is that okay to say that? Okay. So what does? In our relationships, we are supposed to make. Remember Transformers? We were kids. I think they're still out in some form or fashion. They were only cool when I was a kid, though. So you would take one thing, and it would take some manipulating, and it would take some time. But you would change this thing into another thing. And so what the scripture is saying, it says, as far as it has to be with you, as far as it has to do with you, make peace. Take what you've been given and steward it so well that you take the chaos and you turn it into peace. In your relationships, that means you heal yourself before you take on debit to serve somebody else. Can I tell you, at Hope City, it is my desire that if you need spiritual healing and you're serving here, that you step down from serving here and you heal first. You heal first. I have served out of emptiness and I don't recommend it. Here we believe that you serve out of your overflow. That the greatest joy comes out of a healed spirit, out of a soul that's been reconnected to its source. On a personal level, in your personal relationships, can I tell you, be very careful with the people that you invite into your healing. Wow. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. If I could just get that one to you, that would stick today. Boy, we could save a lot of problems. What does it mean in our finances? It means that next thing that you want to acquire, it'll be like the other things you've acquired really soon. It'll just be collecting dust. I have nothing wrong with investment, by the way. If you have a reason you need to invest in something that will save you time and get you more time with your family, fine, but make sure it's something that's a real need, not just a want. Another thing, I don't care how bad you want it. Don't go into debt for it. If it's that valuable, take some time, be patient, save up some money, then go get it. Then go get it. It'll mean more, you'll value it more. Right? It's time we as believers stop playing the race that the world has established. We're running on a course that you can never get to a finish line, and you can't even really evaluate where you are. You're either losing or losing more. That's really the options. And then lastly, in your spirit, your spiritual health. God desires for you to come to Him. And I want to warn you and challenge you in this thing. Don't take your spiritual pain just anywhere. Gabe hurt his ankle this past week. What would it have done for me to put Gabe in the car and go to Mar's house? Mar, I love you, but you don't have an x-ray machine. Nothing wrong with me call you later and say, hey, pray for Gabe. But in the moment of healing that I need to figure out what's going on, it would do Gabe no good to bring him to you other than a mean dessert that you'd cook for him or something, which he's all for that, by the way. So why is it that we're taking our spiritual injuries to people and that aren't even spiritually whole themselves? And then once we take it to them, we just wait on them to help. they are not your spiritual source. Spiritual injuries should be taken to the Father. When Gabe hurt his ankle, he called his parents. I'll be honest. There's a few minutes I thought he was dodging a test. He was at school. He called and said, "Dad, my ankle's hurt." For a split second, I thought, that's convenient with a test this afternoon. It's very convenient. How bad is it? Anybody else ask your kids that? Is it bleeding or need stitches? Then you're fine. Rub some dirt on it. I'll see you after school. But then they called and they said, "Hey, we're going to get your daughter out of class and take him home. He's struggling here. He had to be carried to the office. He's in pretty bad shape." Once I saw that he was hurt, I put my arm around him and we hobbled together to the car. I want you to see this picture. He came to me and put his arm around me and I gave him my strength. I said, "We're going to go at your pace. You're hobbling right now. You're not created to hobble. You're not created to hop on one foot. One foot you're not able to use. You're going to get tired. You're going to get weary doing this. So when you need to stop, let's stop." So we would go probably 10 or 15 feet and stop. I'd say, "It's okay, just rest. No, there's no race right now. We're not rushing right now." Can I tell you, don't rush your spiritual healing. God wants you to have spiritual peace. Getting back to that peace, if you've been hurt, especially church hurt and spiritual hurt, can I tell you, don't rush that process. God will keep his arm around you. You got to keep your arm around him, and together you will make healing and peace. Just trust him in that. If you put that in the hands of the wrong people, they'll take you too far, too fast, and you'll stay injured. Don't do that. Your peace is in your hands. Make peace. Blessed are the peace. Blessed are the peace makers. They're the sons of God, the children of God, the daughters of God. My desire for you today is that you learn to make peace. This world is going to bowl all sorts of chaos into your world. It's going to find its way to your lane. I don't care how perfect your world is. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care if you're debt-free. I don't care if you got the best friends in the world. Eventually, chaos will find its way to you. And when it does, you have to learn to make peace. You got to go to God's word. Find out what it says. Don't function in high emotion. And if you do that, you'll seek first the kingdom. If you'll seek first what the scripture says, if you'll petition God before you petition broken people, you have a much better chance to find peace in a broken and dying world. Amen. Stand to your feet. Let me pray for you. Psalms 46:10 says it, this whole sermon, as good as I can say it. It says, "Be still and know that I'm God." Just trust that he's God and he can handle it. Amen. Father, we love you. There's nobody within the sound of my voice that has perfect peace. Nobody. That honestly, I think that just comes in heaven. But until then, teach us to make peace. Teach us to function in peace. Teach us to function out of wisdom and stewardship instead of high emotion and consumerism and those things that keep us weighed down. Father, more than anything else, help us to love you more today. Drawing closer to you really is the ticket. That's how we win. Let not our hearts be troubled today. Father, help us to lean on you. Help us to let our emotions subside before we decide. Give us that wisdom. Give you the glory for it. Father, for those who are in a season where they just cannot find peace, thank you, Lord. It's just because they're looking in the wrong place. You are the Prince of Peace. Your throne is established. There is no peace outside of you. The Lord, today, help us to seek you, the true source of peace. We'll be awfully grateful for it. Bless us and keep us. Be gracious to us and show us your favor. Make your face shine upon us and give us peace, both now and forevermore. Cover us, the blood of Jesus. From the top of our head to the soles of our feet, I thank you that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Not even our own bad handsaw purchases. Bring us back next week with more wisdom, more of your word locked away in our heart. And we'll give you the glory, honor, and praise for it. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. We love you. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Hope City Community Church Podcast. We pray that what you've heard today will bless you until the next time we meet again. We hope you'll join us again soon to be encouraged, inspired, and challenged to experience the real Jesus. Take good care, and God bless.